Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, and welcome back. Straightening up the rows is essential for our prayers, because the Prophet ﷺ told us that this is what the angels of Allah do. He once came out and he said, why don't you stand in rows like the angels do? So they said, how do the angels stand, O Prophet of Allah? And he said, they complete the first rows and they straighten the rows and narrow the gaps. So this is the way of the angels. And by doing this, by imitating the angels and what they do, we get to follow the sunnah, and at the same time, we get the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Hadith number 71. Anyone? Yes, brother.
Narrated an Numan ibn Bashir, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, straighten your rows or Allah will alter your faces or create dissension amongst you. Bukhari. Muslim's narration, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to straighten our rows as if he were straightening arrows until he saw that we had learned it from him. One day when he came out, stood up for prayer and was about to say Allahu Akbar, when he saw one man whose chest was bulging out from the row, so he said, servants of Allah, you must straighten your rows or Allah will alter, disfigure your faces or create dissension amongst you. Muslim.
This hadith again speaks about straightening the rows, and the Prophet puts alayhi salatu wasalam great emphasis on it. Why? Because it's a sign of unity. You know, a lot of the non-Muslims are astonished. They are shocked. And some of them even may accept Islam when they see the Muslims in their prayer. Once a man was asked, do you think if we have 400,000 people, can we make them stand up in a queue or in a line? How much will it take us? And the man, being a general in the army, said, oh, this is an issue of discipline. Probably it would take us like 4 to 5 hours, if we're talking about soldiers and etc. And when it was displayed to him, the Iqamah in Al-Haram, people are walking, praying, reading Quran, doing this, going around the Kaaba. In less than 30 seconds, when the Iqamah is given and the Imam says, Istawu, i'tadilu, look at it, what happens? Complete order, everything is in place. And the man was shocked and astonished. This is not human. Yes, it is not human, it's divine, it's from Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, we pay a lot of attention and put a great deal of emphasis on straightening the rows and tightening the gaps, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, because the punishment is severe. The punishment would be that Allah Azza wa Jal would create dissension among us. And this is obvious in a lot of masjids. A lot of the arrogant people won't like people to come close to them. And you end up in the prayer, straightening up your rows, and you say Allahu Akbar, and you find that the man next to you is going to the right and the one next to you going to the left. So you spread your legs and you spread them a little bit more and they run away. And you're chasing them throughout the prayer, and then you end up stretching like doing karates or taekwondos. What is this? I'm trying to narrow the gaps and these guys are running away as if I have some illnesses or disease, and they run away from you. And you end up with having so many gaps between the people. Why? What does this result in? In hatred, in dissension. I look down at him and he looks down at me. We never give salam to each other. Why? Because we don't have the love of the brotherhood in our hearts. I wouldn't feel embarrassed or I wouldn't feel annoyed if you stick your shoulder to my shoulder and your foot to my foot. On the contrary, I would feel comfortable. But a lot of the Muslims don't do this. Unfortunately, a lot of the Muslims, even instead of standing normally, they stand like this with their feet. And even if you stand normally, some of them, they have this illness, this disease. With their small toe, they start digging with their nails in your flesh. And you keep a little bit away and they're still doing this, like, I don't know, what are they doing? What are they looking for? And all of this is not part of the sunnah. And after the salah, he shouts at you. Every time I try to get closer to you, you go far away from me. Akhi, you're not getting closer to me. You're injuring me. Look at me. I'm bleeding. And not only that, the soul of the prayer is gone. We're supposed to have khushu'. You're not having khushu'. You're only concentrating on sticking your foot to my foot. Not only that, I've seen people, wallahi, instead of putting the foot like this, they put his foot on my foot. Now, I am irritated. So I take my foot and I put it on his. And we start doing this and the prayer is gone. We're not praying, we're playing. So this kind of attitude has to be changed. Dissension, the Prophet is threatening us, alayhi salatu wasalam. We will not have the love for each other. We will have hatred. We will have this arrogance in us. Straightening the row is extremely important in our religion. Otherwise, Allah Azza wa Jal would cause us to fight among ourselves, as we can see this nowadays. So, do we have any questions related to the topic?
This is more about the traveler who's traveling. And while he's traveling, he enters the masjid where the imam is praying with the jama'ah. So, with regards to shortening the prayer, do the same rule apply, or what are the combinations that can, you know,
That's a good question. And Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, was asked a similar question. He was asked, why does a traveler, when praying behind a resident, completes the prayer, and when a resident prays behind traveler, he does not shorten? So what is the determining factor? Ibn Abbas said, this is the sunnah, my brother. So all scholars agree that when a traveler prays behind a residing person, he must complete his prayer. Even if he prays only one rak'ah with the imam. For example, Dhuhr prayer, I missed three rak'ahs. On the fourth, I joined the imam while traveling. So I finish one rak'ah with him, the imam offers salam, I complete three rak'ahs. Though I'm traveler, I'm supposed to pray two rak'ahs. Scholars say that he has to complete. So this is the sunnah. This is how it was by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as Ibn Abbas said. Muhammad Aman.
My question is also regarding traveling. As we had discussed in the previous session, that we have to stand for the prayer. Qiyam is a pillar. But we know that when we travel, when we men travel, we can do that. Some of the Muslims, unfortunately, they feel shy about it, praying in front of the masses. But regarding women, is it also for them that they stand in public and they prostrate and they do ruku? Or rather, if there is a corner place for them, they can sit and finish their prayer over there. So what should be done with women?
No, women are like men. They have to pray standing up. There's no exemption in the Quran or in the Sunnah. It's only in our minds. So if they're fully veiled and fully protected, when they pray, there's nothing in them that calls people to look. So they have to pray standing up if they are able to do so.
Salaam alaikum.
Salaam.
Yeah. Where we pray, the hall is straight and the Qibla is tilted. So, but most of the people, they join their little finger with the other person's little finger. But however, if we go to follow the correct way, that is joining ankle with ankle, the row, it is tilted. So what should be done in this case?
If you're asking about the tilt found in the masjid, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is permissible. In the hadith, مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلَ. What's between the east and the west is Qibla. South is Qibla. So imagine, the Prophet is saying, south is Qibla. If you go this far, it's okay, the deviation. But if you're asking about the ankles to the ankles, this is sunnah. If the one next to you, to your right and left, is knowledgeable and knows this sunnah and he's comfortable in doing it, do it. If he's not, stay away from him. But you have to narrow the gaps by at least the shoulders. Some people are irritated with the feet, but the shoulders is the most important thing. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
I usually travel by train in sleeper class, where on my seat I can't stand, and there is no place where I can pray standing. Can you explain how to offer Farz Salah?
The same answer as usual. If you're unable to stop the train and you're not able to pray standing up, pray sitting down. Allah says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Fear Allah to the best of your ability. I can't. No, you have to stand. I can't. You have to stand. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't tell you to do something you cannot. So pray sitting down, and inshallah, Allah will accept this as well. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
I've got two questions. One is regarding the women. A woman is in a state of junub, and this is immediately followed by a menstruation cycle. So how does she purify herself?
If I'll take only one question. As the brother is asking, if a woman is in the case of sexual impurity and she immediately gets her menses, so is she obliged to perform ghusl? And the answer is yes. She is obliged to perform ghusl because the ghusl is for the janaba, though she is not going to pray. But she's going to recite the Quran, she's going to make dhikr, and she has to be in the state of purity from janaba. But with her menses, she cannot offer prayer or fast, yet she must perform ghusl for that reason. Last question.
When in a plane or a bus, if you are able to stand as well as to face the Qibla, but you are not able to maintain the Qibla, the direction, so is the Salah valid?
Yes, it's sufficient in the case of plane or a train that you face the Qibla in the beginning and then the train falls to other direction or the plane goes to another direction, this does not affect your prayer. Continue your prayer because you started it well and you're standing and you're fulfilling all the conditions and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.